morning, Mosaic. I'd like to invite you all to come and join us for worship this morning, this second Advent Sunday, first one that we've had gathering together, so we're excited to have you with us. The theme throughout this service, we'll be exploring some of these Advent themes with our worship and the message, so we invite you to stand and join us this morning.
Good morning, Mosaic. We're glad that you're here. Go ahead and have a seat for a moment. What joy it is to sing those words, "Come, Holy One, come and meet us." And that's a beautiful cry of Advent. Mosaic, I don't know about you. This is a difficult season for me. We wake up in the morning and it's dark. Chances are many of you eat your breakfast and it's dark. You go to work and it's dark. You leave work and it's dark again. You sit down to eat dinner, it's still dark. And of course, you go to bed in the dark. So much darkness around us in this season. And I want us just to stop and pause with that for a moment, because I think in so many ways, that experience of that kind of darkness can become a metaphor for our lives, right? So much darkness that can be experienced in the world. So much within, so much around us that's uncertain, that feels like it's very precarious. So much to carry around, the weight, the worry, all of it. And then in the midst of that is this season of Advent. And it's an opportunity to stop and remind ourselves that we are again rehearsing this story that we tell each other time and again, year after year. This story of the light of the world, God's Messiah, Jesus, who stepped into the darkness and showed us the beautiful reality of God's kingdom. A kingdom that, it turned the power structures of the world upside down. Those who were excluded now had a place at the table. Those who were lost and hopeless now had a place, a path to walk and to experience new beginnings. And we remember how that light came into the world, but the cry of Advent is not just remembering that first arrival of the light, but it's actually leaning into the second coming of that light that will come again. The beautiful hope that Christians have held on to throughout the centuries, that Christ will come again. And because he will come again, we ultimately are people of hope, even in the midst of the darkness that we experience. Well, Zach, I want to read these words for us from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And in writing this, he's telling us about this light of the world, Jesus, who came into the world. That we would be recipients of that light, that we would receive the life that he's given to us, but then that we would embody his life for one another and for the world around us. Share that light with the world around us. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for what he will do next. Keeping us alert for what he will do next. And when it's dark all the time, I just want to stay in bed. When it's cold, I just want to stay under the blankets. I just want to sleep through it. But Advent, it's a call for us to stay alert. Advent carries this sense of arrival. The light of the world has once arrived, and the light of the world will arrive again. And so we live in that in-between time. But stay alert. May the things that characterize the life of Jesus come to characterize us. Isn't that a beautiful movement for all of us as we go through Advent? And I know, guys, there is so much to do in the midst of this season. And in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of all of the activity, I want to invite us just to stand right now. Let's stand back up. And let's just take a moment and pause and just say, Jesus, in the midst of all of the activity of this season, help us to stay alert. Help us to stay alert to what you will do next. Regardless of the darkness that we're experiencing now, you are always at work in our world. You have arrived, you are always arriving, and you will arrive again. This is the story that Israel first experienced, and we now are people of this story, and so we join this story. Israel's cry has become our cry, come thou long expected Jesus. Set your people free. Set humanity free. Rearrange the power structures of our world. Make a place at the table for those who are excluded. Do your good work in us and through us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. come thou fire, expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in
Church, and one of the ways that we can strengthen that is through communal prayer. Would you all join me in praying together the words on the screen? God of the seasons, God of the years, God of the eons, Alpha and Omega, before us and after us, you promise and we wait. We wait with eager longing. We wait amid doubt and anxiety. We wait with patience thin and then doubt, and we take life into our own hands. We wait because you are the only one and the only one. We wait for your peace and your mercy, for your justice and your good rule. Give us your spirit and we may wait obediently and with discernment, caringly and without passivity, trustingly and without cynicism, honestly and without utopianism. Grant that our wait may be appropriate to your coming, soon and very soon and not late, late but not too late. We wait while the world groans in eager longing. Thank you.
Good morning, friends. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Ben, and my wife Whitney and I and our four daughters, Finley, Sailor, Blakely, and Wesley, you'll see them running around here creating all sorts of havoc. In fact, I think there was like multiple accidents this morning from in the tea area. But we have been a part of the Mosaic community. It was actually right at 3 years ago we first came to a gathering here. And then, as we all know, 3 years ago ushered in this moment before 2020 where all the things changed. And while the pandemic upended all of our lives, we actually were due with our fourth child in January, had a baby, entered a global pandemic, and in the middle of all of that got an opportunity to move to the Netherlands. And eventually, we said yes after a few months of figuring out, is this pandemic going to own everything, and can we do this or not? And for those of you who are still grieving the loss yesterday, we are both terribly sorry for your loss to the Netherlands, and not sorry at all, because we're quite ecstatic about the orange continuing on. But it was then we started kind of attending here and found a lot of life in this community, but it was just a few short weeks. And then as we just returned back and moved back a few months ago, I just thank you. This has been a beautiful community for us as a family. So my story is that I was a pastor many, many years ago. In fact, I used to preach all the time. It's been almost 10 years, so thank you for allowing me to shake off the dust with you this morning. And there will probably be plenty. But for me and my own spiritual journey had just gone through those questions, those challenges of like, man, this whole Christian thing, particularly evangelicalism, I grew up in a legacy of pastors. My grandfather was one, my father was one, but all of their marriages ended in divorce, and there was just a lot of tension that I still work through today. And so as I found that path in my own life, came to a point where I was like, I don't know that I want this. I don't know that I can do this. And I had all sorts of questions, both theological, but also just personal, and just what does it look like to be in a faith community in our world today? And this has been a beautiful space for us, where Kurt and so many of you have just been such a kind presence of welcoming us in our own journey. So thank you. And also, I'm not at all emotional, so let's just get that on the table. Not at all. No, but thank you for allowing, and truly, it's a gift to be with you this morning. Advent is a season that has been deeply meaningful to me in my own spiritual journey, especially over the last decade as I've continued to wrestle in my own faith of what does it look like to follow Jesus in our world today? And all of the tension and the chaos that has gone on, what does it mean to be faithful followers of this way? How do I engage that? And Advent is a season that creates this space, as Kurt shared and as Emma read, that it creates this space and permission that it's okay to wrestle in the darkness. Like, that is life. And Advent is this church rhythm, not just us, but with literally millions of others wrestling through passages, giving space and permission that the places in our life that feel the most alone, the most dark, we welcome that. And we want to step into that together. And so as Kurt and I were having conversations around what would it look like this Advent season to share some messages, you know, he invited the idea of let's just look at what's going on in the lectionary. So the passage that we're going to actually explore today literally millions of other believers, Catholic, Protestant, from all sorts of different denominations, backgrounds, beliefs, sitting with these same words. And in this week, the theme's hope. And you can't have hope unless there's a place of darkness. And so we're going to sit with those themes today and actually step into a passage from the book of Isaiah alongside our brothers and sisters from all sorts of different walks of life from all over the world wrestling through these very ancient scriptures together. So I'm excited to jump into this. But as we do, if I could, God, thank you for this community, for this family. Thank you for the fact that in this Advent season, I can be with such a gracious community of people who all want to find hope and life and goodness in this way of Jesus in our world. And so may we, as we encounter these scriptures together, may you offer us a sense of a fresh word for our lives. For whatever it is that we're facing, I believe that you have something for us. And so thank you for the space to take a deep breath. Thank you for the space to sit with ancient words and scriptures that are so incredibly relevant for us today. May this be a time where you can just engage our hearts in a fresh way. Amen. So Isaiah, where we pick up, a little bit of context. Isaiah is this incredible, I like to call him a poet prophet. Like the book of Isaiah is wild with all sorts of imagery and metaphor. In the first half of the book, it really wrestles through this reality, and we'll see if we can relate to it. But the people of Israel, people following God, Isaiah over and over and over, for the first half of the book, calls them out of the ways in which they'd lost the plot. You see, God had invited them to loving God and loving neighbor and doing everything they could for the flourishing of the world around them, and yet they had gotten caught up in all sorts of things, primarily systems of power. They wanted a king to take God's rule and then make all of the people follow it. And it was about money, and it was about power, and they had sort of become at war, not only with the world literally around them, and in the context we're looking at, the Assyrian people are literally surrounding them, and there's a question of whether or not they as a people will even continue to exist. And they were at war with the world, but they also were at war with themselves. How to interpret the scriptures correctly, what it meant to follow God, how the systems and the rules should be at play. And when I stop and I read all of these words of Isaiah, there's this sense of like, yeah, we still haven't figured this out. Like the world at war, yes. I mean, having just lived in Europe, it was at our doorstep. And it's devastating to see what's going on in places like Ukraine, in places like Africa, where there's just constant war. But then the war that we find ourselves in, just here. What are you on this side or that side? Do you believe this or that? Or whose team are you on? Even within our own faith communities. And in the ways in which we sort of war with ourselves to figure out how do we love God, love others, but still find our way, especially as Americans in a world full of privilege. And I can relate a lot. And it's interesting how still to this day, these poetic, prophetic words can challenge us as a people to find God in the midst of all of this. So we're going to pick up there. How about that for a gloomy start? But we're going to jump in there. If you've got your Bible, I invite you to jump into Isaiah. And we're going to start at the very end of chapter 10. So Isaiah picks up. The context is he's speaking to the people of Israel. The Assyrians are literally knocking them down as we speak, but they're also at war with themselves and have lost the plot along the way. We're going to start in chapter 10, verse 33. And Isaiah says this, "See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power, and the lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe, and Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One." We have this incredible poetic imagery of God showing up and leveling everything. All of these mighty oak trees you've been trying to build, all of this kingdom that you've been wanting, it's all gone. And now part of that, yes, is this like interesting prophetic imagery of how God will do that and do that to the Assyrians. But also there's a lot of ancient teachers who looked at this and said, it's also God's word to the people to say the things that you've been thinking are where the life will be found, it's not there. That all of those trees that you've tried to keep standing in your life, to keep it all together, it's all coming down. that in a lot of ways we've lost the plot. And we start off very dark, but as Kurt said, we all woke up to a lot of darkness this morning. We start with this leveled field of trees. And I don't know about you, but for me, I can easily look around in my own life and see a lot of stumps. These places that maybe once I hoped would have so much life or had such plans for a giant tree, suddenly left with a stump. And I think we all carry those in our lives. We can all look around at places in our stories and see leveled forests where we had hoped there would be tall trees. Maybe it's in your own life, your own body. Places where you're just longing for some sense of life. Like, will it always be this way? Will there be healing? Will that job come? Will there be hope in the way that I see myself in our world? Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe there's someone in your life, and you just can't help but say, is there any hope? I mean, even for me in my own story, wrestling through someone I love so dearly, battle, lifelong addiction, still wrestling through that today. Still struggling to believe that they matter and that they're worth it. I mean, it's also our world. We've already talked about this a lot. Like, there's so much in our world where you look around, it's like, is there any hope for this? Like, there's certainly not hope for, like, traditional news cycles. That one can just... But we look around in our communities, in our worlds, the racial injustice communities that face so much persecution. I think about all of my friends in the LGBTQ community who've just gone through so much pain in recent times. Like, we can look around and see so many leveled forests in our lives, wondering, is there any sense of hope for this to be restored? Maybe you're on your own faith journey, like me, and there's seasons where you sort of see a stump and wonder, am I in still? Like, is this for me? I have too many questions, and is God really like that? And I was told these things, but now I'm wrestling through whether or not those are true. And there's this sense that all of us carrying stumps in our own lives, wondering, will there be hope here? And that's the beauty of this Advent season, is that it creates space to say we all have stumps in our lives. These places where hope is desperate to break through. And I think what I find so beautiful about this is that even when Christ does come as an infant child, he doesn't come in some big triumphant, pave the way, celebrate, like he comes in the middle of darkness. In fact, it was 400 years of silence where the people hadn't heard from God. I can't handle like 4 minutes of silence. My wife probably wishes that I could. Let alone 4 weeks. Like, I'm waiting to hear, is the job going to happen? I mean, for us, we wrestled through a season this summer of whether or not to return back to America or stay where we had found a rich, beautiful community. We loved it in the Netherlands for so many reasons. But it just felt like the time had come and the path was ending. And there was a period of waiting, and it felt like a freaking eternity. Like 4 weeks of just going, what do we do? Where's the word? I just wanted someone else to decide. I wanted the path to be clear. And it just wasn't. And it felt like eternity. And yet the people of God in this moment when Christ comes, 400 generations worth of years of silence. I can't imagine how dark it must have felt, how dark it must have felt for those people and in that moment. And yet Christ shows up in the silence, in the dark of night, and to a virgin teenage mother who had to have been utterly terrified. Yes, giving birth to children is beautiful. I'm not a woman. I have never given birth, but I've been witness to it 4 times. It is not the simplest, most gracious. We sing Silent Night like Jesus in a manger, and it's like perfect and cute, and that is not at all how any of the births of our children went down. And I can't imagine now being in a stable, a young girl who very likely her family had said, we don't really buy the family, friends. Sending her out. We don't really buy the whole virgin story. There's more here going on. And quite frankly, if that had happened to you, you are no longer welcome in the community. And for her body to be ravaged and for her and this partner to like be alone and then be told there's no place for you. And now you're in this dark stable. So we have silence and darkness and pain and a bloodied scene. And that is where Jesus shows up. those stumps in our lives, those places of death and darkness and despair. Christ shows up then in those moments. And that reminder of Advent is a deeply, deeply beautiful one. Could probably end the message right there, because like that shoots something into me that lets me just go, I'm not alone. We're not alone. And yet the writer continues, gets even better. Picks up in chapter 11, verse 1. And a shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. And from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. I'm going to pause here. The writer, Isaiah, says, and out of this lifeless thing that we feel is so dead in this leveled field where God has decimated everything and we've done it, we've decimated everything, out of that, life will break forth. A couple of things that I found so interesting as I really dug into this passage. It's the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse would be a king, and from Jesse would come David, and then eventually David, many others. And then we hear the writers in the Gospels actually walking through that lineage. So what we have here is the foretelling of this king that would come through this lineage and be this Messiah. But Jesse's name is really interesting. In Hebrew, it's the word Yeshai. And Yeshai means I exist. It's as if God says, even when you see this dead stump, whether you're aware of it or not, I'm there. I exist. I'm with you. Even when it feels like it's dead and there's nothing left. And out from these roots, a branch will bear fruit. This king will come. Hope will break forth. In the places where we feel that hope is lost, I am there. You, whether you see it or not, and I promise there's more to this story, there's more coming that you haven't even seen yet. And that, to me, is this Advent message of hope. Those places in our lives where we look around and feel this sense of desolation and darkness, Christ breaks forth and brings a new life forward. Isaiah continues and he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Him being the Christ, the Messiah. But this also, this word spirit is the Hebrew word ruach. And ruach means breath. He's existing whether we are aware of it or not in these lifeless places. And through his breath, this simple inhale and exhale brings his presence. And it will rest on him. And this word breath, ruach, is actually really connected to this word rest. Nuach is the root word there. And that word nuach actually means a sense of quiet, a place of true rest, when you know things are well. And I love that picture, this spirit breath, whether we're aware of it or not, bringing rest and kindness and mercy, even in our hardest moments. The spirit breath of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit breath of wisdom and of understanding. The spirit breath of counsel and of power. All of these things that we've been longing for, that we've been chasing, but in all the wrong ways. Here it shows up and starts to bring a new sense of life. The spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. A lot of ancient Hebrew teachers would actually translate that fear of the Lord. Fear being the idea of like reverence, awe. They translate it to the awe of mercy. As if God's kindness shows up without us even being aware and starts to breathe gently. This restful, life-giving sense of life. I don't know about you, but I could use that in my own story, in my own journey. Like this Advent season is an invitation to, yes, hold those places in our life where we struggle. Maybe there's a relationship at school. Maybe there's something wrestling in your own soul, a job, a change. And yet the invitation is to hold that darkness together and believe that this spirit breath will show up and breathe new life for us. Isaiah continues, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord and will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. He's not only going to bring new life, but he's going to start to give us a new lens in which we see the world. that the places of death, yes, they are painful, and yes, we may be present with them and hold them well, yet there's also something else happening. It reminds me, we were hiking this summer, and we love to hike and get outdoors with our girls. Sometimes they love it. Sometimes they're like, really? We got to just walk forever again? But we were hiking, and we were, to my fault, a bit ill-prepared. And we're up in the mountains, and of course the mountains can turn like that. And it starts raining, and it's getting a little colder, and like they've done an amazing job. And we're going, and we're heading in the Dolomites. We're going to someplace that is like one of the views that I just like cannot wait to get to. And it starts dumping rain, and everybody else that's walking down was prepared, and they had raincoats. They probably just pulled out of their bag because they're prepared hikers, unlike us. And so we have no coats, and it's cold, and I'm like starting to get agitated because I'm like, gosh, dang it, why didn't I do, I should have prepared, and I'm putting my kids at risk, and we're all freezing, and we're like huddled under like a couple of trees trying to stay dry. And we ended up splitting up, and Whitney goes on when it kind of broke with one of our girls because they could move a lot faster, and I took the other ones, and we started hiking down, and one of my daughters said, Dad, why are there all these dead trees? She's 5. And she just asked this really obvious question. It's like, why are there all these dead trees? And some of them would like cross over the path and they'd love it and you could hop over them. And it reminded me of a story that a friend of mine that we knew way back when I was in seminary told me. It's about the beauty of the natural world. That when you see trees that have just fallen on their own out in a forest, there's this sense that like it had so much purpose in its death. And I got to share with my 5-year-old, well, you see those trees fall because the forest eventually needs that death of that tree to be able to create the new life that will come. You see, when a tree falls down, it does a lot of things. It creates space in the canopy and light shoots forth down on the forest floor. And things that have needed this sense of light, they receive it. And they grow, and all sorts of vegetation on the forest floor. I'm not going to explain this very well. You should Google this, because it's actually beautiful. But when a tree falls, all sorts of light creates life on the ground. And then that tree itself starts to decompose, and it becomes this rich nutrient for the soil around it. It becomes food for all sorts of insects and bugs, and it becomes even shelter for small critters and animals. Like, all sorts of life teem from these fallen trees. And so I see these stumps, I see these leveled forests. And so often it's easy to be like, that's it. That's kind of like, it's over. And yet God gives us this new way to see the world that says in those places of darkness, in those places of death, I will bring a new sense of life. Maybe not in the timing that we would all want or hope for. Maybe not even in this life versus the, I don't know how that all works. But I know that Jesus shows up in the darkness and he invites us to see that this lifeless thing for us is teeming with new possibility in this new kingdom. That there's so much more to the story than what you and I just see. And my daughter, Blakely, the very one that I was telling this to as we were hiking this summer yesterday, as I was thinking through preparing for today, when I am preparing a presentation, I do it a lot for work, but I have to do it out loud. And so I find these places where I can like literally talk to myself. And it's just her and I, and the baby's taking a nap, and nobody else is home. And I'm in my office, and I'm just talking out loud to myself. And she keeps just peeking her head in the door like, why is Dad crazy? Who's he talking? Like, she just kind of is just curious. But over time, I'm getting like, okay, I got to find a flow to this. Like, can you like go watch the show or do the thing? And getting a little irritated, and she peeks her head back in, and she kind of has a different look in her eyes, and she's like, Dad, can I show you something? I made a mistake, but I turned it into something beautiful. And she shows me this picture. Lindsay, you might throw this up. And she says, I'd drawn a couple lines, but they were too squiggly, and I was really mad at myself because I made a mistake, but then I turned it into something beautiful. And as I'm wrestling through this season of Advent, as a dad, like my kids are my greatest teachers by far. Like, where there is death, Advent reminds us that whether it's our mistake or something we're experiencing, something our bodies, our minds, our hearts, the people we love, the world around us, where there is things that were once broken, the invitation of Advent is to see where God is making something beautiful. I love that. And it's such a simple illustration that for me became a really powerful thing to anchor around on. Where there is death, God is making something beautiful. And the writer continues, as we see with these new eyes and we hear with these new ears, it gets even more interesting. And with righteousness, he's going to judge the needy. And with justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. You see, he's not just giving us new eyes to see things. He's ushering in an entire new kingdom, as Kurt was talking about earlier. There's this sense that the way in which the world works, the way in which the Israelites had completely lost their way, that is not who Jesus is and what he's calling us to. It is not the way of God. The way of God is blessing the poor in spirit, blessing those who are low, the meek, the broken, those pushed to the margins, to the fringes, those of us who go through seasons of brokenness. My own brother, who's struggling so much, he comes for him and for us because there's a new kingdom that's being birthed, not one based on power and control and religious duty, but one based on loving our neighbor and the flourishing of all people. And this kingdom looks like all sorts of wild things. And I love, again, this poet-prophet language that Isaiah uses. He's going to bring righteousness for the needy and justice for the poor. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked, not by sword, but with breath and life. It's like the flames of heaven are this love so rich and so big and so deep. That's how he's going to actually come and wage. I would even call it war. I'd call it wage this like love battle. I don't know. And righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And then it gets wild. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra.
What?
And the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. Look, it's crazy language. It's wild. But to me, what I see is this, like, this new kingdom that's being ushered in this Messiah that's going to come. He's taking all of these opposites that exist, and he goes to the far extreme to capture our attention and say, even the most distant things in the world that are at war with one another will find peace. Like, imagine Fox News and CNN coming together and being like, we really love each other. Like, we know all of those places, right? Where it's just us versus them. And that happens among people groups, but it happens in our own homes. Like, the holidays are heavy for a lot of us because there's even wars happening there. And this upside down kingdom is an invitation to say, will you see it in a new way? I'm up to something new. Even where you think there is death, I promise you hope will break forth. I'm up to something different. I'm up to something new. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This word waters is actually often talked about as mayim. I'm going to butcher this, mayim chayim, and it's this sense of, it's the life water that springs forth and gives life everywhere it goes. So we start off with a leveled forest and dead stumps, and we're invited to be present with that, and in the end of this short passage, Isaiah is like, and yet God is going to fill the earth with a life-giving water that's going to change everything. I'm here to usher in this new kingdom, a new way to see the world, a new way to care for one another, a new way to engage with me and your neighbors and those places in your life that feel lifeless and that all hope is lost. I'm here to sprout something new. And these waters will provide rest and life and hope. And he finishes here in chapter 10, or in verse 10. In that day, comes back to the very beginning, the root of Jesse, the root of Yishai, will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. God still exists. This root, this shoot, this Messiah that will come in our most desolate places will be a rallying cry. It's as if to say this Advent season is a bit of a rebellion against cynicism that wants to just give up. And it becomes this rebellion of hope for all of us to remind one another that those places in your life, they are not all lost. That God is still doing something, still existing, still breathing the spirit breath, shooting up new sprouts. That whether we see him or not, this season reminds us, yes, Christ has come, and yet we live in this liminal space, as Kurt talked about earlier, where Christ is going to come again. And we live in this weird middle ground where we know of hope, and yet our lives seem to be in tension with that reality. And we wrestle and we struggle through. And I love these words of Isaiah, that here the nations will rally. We can join this rebellion and his place of rest, coming back again to that very early idea of rest, of kindness, of quiet. That rest will be glorious. We know where this Advent story goes, but we live in this space where we have to be reminded. And I think that these words of Isaiah serve for us as a place to say, those stumps in your life, I hope that you have space for them to grieve, to wrestle, to be present, not to avoid, but to honestly be present with and pray through and bring to God. These are the places that feel lifeless, that feel hopeless. Because I think for us, one of my hopes is that as we remember those places, as we're honest about them, that we're reminded that it's not the end of the story. That this Advent season brings with us this birth of this King who comes and meets us in our darkness and in our quiet and in our despair and says, I'm with you. I entered the world in that same way, and I know that pain, and you are not alone. So may you and I be reminded that we're not alone in those places where we feel there is no life. And as we're reminded, may we also step into one another's lives and be that remnant that can remind one another, find those people who need that word of fresh hope, that the story doesn't end here, that I'm with you. There's also another beautiful imagery that I come back to a lot in the Gospels. When families would face death, and in this case, the death of Lazarus, what people would do is called sitting Shiva. And it was a sense of where people are in pain, I just go and I sit. I don't have to say anything. I'm just present. So may you and I, may we find the people in our lives and join them in those moments of darkness and of pain. Yes, at times, to remind them with words, but more importantly, to remind them with presence as Christ does in this Advent season. I am with you. You are not alone. And as we remind ourselves of this, and we remind one another that we are not alone, I believe that is the real story that starts to spark this new sense of life and of hope deep in our veins and in our bones to keep going one more day and to help build this kingdom with new eyes to see the world in such a new way for love of neighbor, for love of God, for the flourishing of all people, to usher in that kind of kingdom and to be a banner, a rebellion against cynicism, and a rebellion full of hope that this is not the way that God intended, but hope is coming. And if that isn't something to encourage you, I don't know what will, because it's shooting life into my veins this week. May we be people who are deeply connected to the places of pain in our life so that we can be reminded that God is not done with our stories, and we can be a banner of that hope in our world and in the lives of those that we love. God, we thank you for these challenging, prophetic, yet honest and empathetic words that this wild poet wrote thousands of years ago that are still so passionately relevant today. Just pray that in this Advent season that you would be present with us as we ache, as we wait in darkness, as we wrestle with the places in our life that feel like death and despair, because we trust and believe that this King that's coming, that has come and that will yet come again, is ushering in a new kingdom, a new hope, and a new sense of life. Thank you for this family and community, that we can be present together in this season, that we can break bread, that we can share in life, and that we can remind one another that we are not alone, both in our pain, but that we're not alone and being bearers of this good news and of this hope to the world around us. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. I want to invite Landon and the team to come back up here and join me. And Mosaic, as we close our time together and engage once again in this practice known as the Eucharist. Eucharist is a word that simply means thanksgiving. God, thank you. Thank you that whatever is this in our lives right now, in our world right now, you are there. You are present. You will do something new. So I want to invite us as we engage in this moment together just to acknowledge what is this thing in your life, and would you bring that to the Eucharist this morning and allow the Spirit of Jesus to meet you in that place and allow the Spirit of Jesus to remind you of the hope that we have. Would you stand with me, Mosaic? And let's remember that Jesus, on the night that he shared that meal with his friends before his death, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat." At the end of that meal, he took a cup and he said, "This cup represents the new covenant in my blood, a sign of my unfailing love for you. Take and drink." Friends, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is the mystery of our Christian faith. I want to invite Ben and his wife Whitney to come up here. Actually, we're going to engage in something a little different this morning. We're going to slow it down. Advent is all about slowing it down. And so I know some of you are in a hurry, but let's live in rebellion to the hurriness that's around us, the speed that's around us. Ben and Whitney, if you guys would just come right here in front. And here's what I'm going to invite us to do. Just as we start singing, we invite anyone and everyone. This table is for everyone. But there's no forcing you to be here. But the invitation from Jesus is here to come. And I want to invite you to just, when the time is right, make your way to the back of the room. And then circle around to this wall where the tree is, where the big tree is. Just make your way to the back of the room, circle around, and let's come single file, and let's just engage in just receiving this bread, taking it, dipping it into the cup. And may you powerfully be reminded that the Spirit of Jesus is at work in the stumps of this world and the stumps of our lives. And hallelujah, Christ is coming. That is our hope. That is our hope. So when you're ready, make your way to the back of the room. Come down the wall here where the tree is, and let's receive these elements together, Mosaic.
First advent broke darkness away. Christ's birth made night as bright as day. And when Jesus spoke, the truth was known. And when Jesus walked, the way was shown. When Jesus died, all death was slain. When Jesus rose, 'twas
By receiving the life that Christ has for us. And now we go from this place to share that life with the world around us. So may you do that as you go throughout the days of this week. Mosaic, we will be back here in 2 weeks on the fourth Sunday of Advent to worship again together. And then on Thursday night, December 22nd, we will have our Christmas celebration on the 22nd. We go a couple days early. We know so many of you travel and are with family and other things, and so that's why we gather on the 22nd on that Thursday night. We invite you back here at 7 p.m. that evening to celebrate with us. Mosaic, some of you know we are coming alongside an Afghan family of 9 over the long haul. We're just starting this relationship with them. If you're interested in leaning in, those who are interested, we're going to have a meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock, actually a time of training, of what does it look like for us to really lean into this and be present with this family. If you'd like to come to that meeting at 4 o'clock, it's going to be in the front conference room of this building from 4 to 5:30. We welcome you to join us. And if we don't see you there, we hope to see you two Sundays from now when we gather again together right here. Mosaic, grace and peace to each of you. Say hello to someone that you don't know. Offer a hug, offer a smile, and may today be a glorious, glorious, tangible experience of the hope that is ours, knowing that Christ is coming. Have a wonderful day, Mosaic.